The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. If you live in Nashville, you know the name Slim and Huskies very well. If you're not in Nashville, I'm pretty sure you're going to know the name Slim and Huskies sooner than later. This is the story of three friends that opened a pizza business with no experience in a neighborhood that nobody thought they'd be successful in and exploded onto the restaurant scene, not just here in Nashville, but also in six other markets with no limits as to where they can go. So let's get it started. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Live.
Yeah.
What's up? This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 76 now, the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, man, I've been waiting to have you guys on for a while. Clint, EJ, Mo, Slim and Huskies, what's good?
What's happening?
Now, I've done a lot on this podcast talking about just North Nashville. I've done a lot on this podcast. So I did a whole episode about investing in your neighborhood with a lady by the name of Majora Carter, who wrote a whole book on basically what you guys did. I mentioned you guys on that. And then she was like, oh, yeah, I've actually been there. I've been to Slim and Huskies. I've been to that location. I've been to Nashville. So I say that to say I think what you guys did to start off your first store was incredibly dope in investing in the neighborhood and taking a chance that nobody else would take. You know what I'm saying? But I want to start before that, because before that, you guys had a moving company.
Yeah.
And
you know.
Yeah. You guys moved my record collection into my house like 12 years ago. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
That was an extensive record collection.
That was.
Oh, yeah. He's serious about his music, man. Trust me.
I still have that record collection. I feel bad anytime I move for the movers. I'm like, yo, I'm sorry, bro. Like, it is what it is. But you guys started that. Were you fresh out of college when you started Green
we
Movers?
We were about 2-3 years out of college. So
2010. We were 25. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And so did you guys know when you were in school that you were like entrepreneurship was it? You weren't going to get out and try to find jobs or anything like that? Or did it?
Coming out of college, you know, you want to make some money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You spend 4 years in school broke. So, yeah. But that was always like a part of the dream, part of the vision and the goal was to be an entrepreneur. We just didn't know in what field, but. But yeah, that was always a goal of ours.
The moving company did well, though. You guys were doing well with the moving company.
Yeah, we were able to sell it.
Yeah. Was it ever a thought that, like, this is going to be, you're going to continue opening moving companies? Or was it always like, we're going to use this to branch out to something else?
Man, we started a moving company, not because we wanted to, but it was like the best low-cost startup option we could think of at the time.
Right.
We were all broke.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like, all right, how much you got? How much you got? All right, $3,000. Can we start with $3,000? It's like, well, we three, you know, big dudes. We can move some stuff, rent some U-Hauls, and get it going. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we just wanted to take what we had to work with and make something happen. So I think in the back of our minds, we always knew this was a stepping stone.
Right.
But then we realized like how good we were at doing business together. You know what I'm saying? Like it started to grow. And like we dove all the way in, and then you know eventually your knees get tired and customers get a little too stressful. You know what I'm saying? It's like you got to make a move.
Would you say the moving company was like a good start to just learning your way around entrepreneurship?
It's probably the perfect industry to learn business in because it's highly regulated. You're dealing with employees that come with some challenges. Customers, it's all about customer service. Man, it's like, you know, with pizza, you mess up a customer's pizza, fix your new pizza.
Yeah.
No harm, no foul. But you damage somebody's dresser. Like, that's a whole different thing. So we had to
you
really.
You speak like somebody who's damaged somebody's dresser before.
I mean, you know, guilty. You know, I've done it, you know, a time or two. But it's probably one of the best industries you can learn in because it's just all the nuance of it, the customers, the scheduling. Like, we literally had to do so many different things.
Right.
We would have, like, 8 or 9 moves in a particular day. So we literally have 8 or 9 different businesses going on any Saturday or Friday. So so we learned a lot.
You have to pivot a lot. If one driver doesn't come in and you don't have another driver to, you know, take that truck for the day, then what do you do, right? It's like you just got to I always be ready to make quick decisions.
Yeah. At what point in that journey, because I know you guys had the moving company, what, was it 2010, 2011, 2012?
2010.
All right. And at what point in that did you guys say, it's pizza. That's what we're shooting for. We're going to do this.
It was about 2015.
And then you guys opened the first one in 2017. Mm-hmm. So about 2 years there, you guys were just planning.
Yeah, just planning. Still running the moving company because we didn't sell the moving company until January 2017. So just still running the moving company. So we had a federal contracting business as well. So still going out to federal contracts. You know, we still had to make money. We still had to make a living. You know what I'm saying? Plus, we knew that at about 2015, 2016, we knew we wanted to sell. So we were getting everything cleaned up so we could sell the business as well. So, and then Clint was checked out by that time with a moving company. So
it was rough, man.
He was done, huh?
It wasn't no 2 week notice or nothing. It was just like, bro, you coming in today? It was like, I'm like, bro, come on, man. Hold on. This dude would be like, I'm finna go on vacation. I'm finna go take a trip. Right, so normally, like, our trips is like, leave on Friday, come back Sunday. Right, you feel what I'm saying? Nah, he started like, leave on Friday, come back Tuesday type thing. Come back to work on Wednesday. You feel what I'm saying?
You need that extra day after a vacation, though. You know what I mean?
So it's like, hold up, bro. Like, no, work starts Monday. Really, work is every day because our business times are Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. You know what I'm saying? Like, bro, you tripping. So he was checked out by this time.
I needed some time, man, to get, you know, be thinking about the next move.
Now, yeah, I can't wait to get my time to think about the next move. I still ain't got mine, but anyway.
So about 2015, you guys knew it was, you were ready to get out of, to move in, and then you knew it was going to be pizza.
Yeah.
Had you guys, like, made pizza before? Because I'm a pizza snob. I love Slim Huskies, by the way. So I'm a pizza snob. Like, everywhere I go, if you've been to a city that I've been to, I can tell you where the best pizza in that city is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm that guy. And I always thought, like, I was like, if I was going to ever do a restaurant, which I don't know that I would do, it would be pizza because that's what I know best. Like, I can tell you if pizza is good or not. I don't know how the hell to make pizza. You know what I'm saying? Did you guys know how to make pizza?
Absolutely not.
So we bought this garage on Buchanan Street at 1508 Buchanan Street, right next to Bud's Hardware.
Okay.
Out north. And so, you know, if you're familiar with that is, if you're from the city, you know, like, this was like one of the cornerstone blocks of North Nashville. Yeah. A lot of activity going on, good and bad, right? So, but you know, that was part of our, you know, initial, like, intro into, like, building back into North Nashville, because we took that space and turned it into, it was an old car garage. We took that space and turned it into our test kitchen called the Mad Science Pizza Lab, right? So, and that's all we would do. Like, you know, kind of that transition they was talking about with me is, like, I kind of fell in love with, like, just being at the space, testing products, trying to work on the recipes. And we brought in Chef Jason Williams to, like, help us speed up our process. And Jason really didn't even know how to make pizza, I don't think, at the time. But he had more knowledge of culinary arts than we did. And it's like, he, you know, we worked together as a team to come up with, like, our unique product, which really turned into, like, what you're eating today and, like, why it's so much more unique than everybody else's stuff, because we didn't know what the hell we was doing. We was just trying, you know, and sometimes that's the best formula.
Yeah. No, I remember the first time I went, which it was a while after you guys opened, because, and we'll get to your opening in a minute, but you couldn't get in, first of all, when you guys first opened. You had to have, like, 2 hours to go to Slim and Huskies. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I just didn't have 2 hours. So it took me a while to finally try it. And I was like, oh, this shit is really good. Like, and it's different. Like, it's almost like I've had flatbread pizza before. And this is more the shape of flatbread pizza, but it's not flat. It's real pizza, just kind of the shape
it's
of flatbread.
Shape.
It's just, I was like, oh, this is, shit is really good. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still a fan of the spicy red. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's my shit.
It's my favorite.
So, but I say that to say, just like, how long did that process take to perfecting where that is? Or is that still going on right now?
Yeah, I think it's always a work in progress. You know what I'm saying? Like, but we have perfected our craft, which is the Slim Huskies pizza. You know what I mean? The sauces, the cheeses, the toppings, all that type of stuff. You know, continue to play around with different types of pizzas. So we got the Fiesta, right? You know what I'm saying? It's like a Mexican pizza.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we're going to continue to, like, throw new things out there, challenge ourselves. But we have, like, perfected Our pizza.
Yeah, yes. You know what I mean? And I tell you, one of the smartest things, another very smart thing you guys did is my wife is vegan and you guys have a good vegan pizza, which is rare.
That,
yeah. Like, if my wife will eat your vegan pizza, it's good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? She ain't going back to anybody else's vegan. You know, there's a lot of vegan pizzas that she's had that she's like, yeah, I'm never having that.
And to that point, like, we from Nashville, right? So it's like we couldn't put our name behind something that was disgusting, that was like half-assed, you know what I mean? It had to be right. So we, so to that question, we started the process of learning how to make pizzas. This might have been mid-2015. Mm-hmm. And really, it took us all the way towards the end of 2016 to really get it perfected. So we spent like countless hours and time, you know, just in the lab every day, trying different things, different meats, different cheeses until we perfected it.
How many people tried y'all's pizza until y'all were confident in the like? Because I know, like, with people, it's like, is this good? Yeah, this shit is good. And it's like you and your homies, you're like, yo, this is pretty good. Let's give it to somebody else and let's let them try. Like,
Andrews. A whole neighborhood.
The whole neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. If you would have came by the garage and somebody was in there, we would have gave you a free pizza. Just like, hey, man, what you think about it?
Yeah.
And what would start happening was it started getting better and better. One crazy story is, you know, North Nashville was suffering from gentrification. Yeah. Like, and this, the community was just at odds with each other. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there was, like, two groups, you know, new neighbors, old neighbors, and they were clashing super bad. And we walk into a community meeting one day and was just like, hey, what's up? Like, we're Plenty JMO. We opened up a pizza shop down the street, brought some pizzas by for y'all to check out. Right. And so, like, instantly we take the pizzas in. You could feel like the tension in the air. And then they start like eating pizza, talking to each other, kind of, you know, the camaraderie just improved right away. So they were like, well, hey, like, you know, would y'all be interested if we had a meeting down where y'all make these pizzas at? And we're like, yeah, come on. So they start having community meetings at the science lab, right? Like, and we'd be in there cooking pizza and they'd have, you know, be having, sitting at a round table talking, having healthy discussions. So we were like, man, this is going to work because now they can do it at the restaurant.
Yeah. That's so dope, man. I want to talk about that too because, one, you guys are trying a new type of pizza that nobody had ever had before, right? Mm-hmm. And the other part of that is y'all open in a part of town that new businesses, at least at that time, would not go to. You know what I mean? The whole vibe of Slim and Huskies, everything you guys built there did not happen on Buchanan Street.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody moved their brand new restaurant to Buchanan Street. I'm for real. Like, I mean, that takes fucking balls, bro. Like, I talked about that a couple times on the podcast because it's like you can open nice shit in neighborhoods that are impoverished sometimes. You know what I'm saying? In North Nashville, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can do that and provide opportunity to people that do not have opportunity.
Yeah.
First of all, what made you guys pick Buchanan Street, North Nashville? Just because you're from there and you're like, we're going to do something for the neighborhood? Because that's a... Were y'all nervous about that? That's a fucking ballsy move, bro. Like, it really is, though.
I mean, honestly, we checked Green Hills.
Right.
You know, we were on Rosa Parks. The Gulch, 12 South, everywhere, man. And then it just didn't feel right. You know what I mean? Like, we are more familiar with North Nashville than any other place in town besides, you know, Clint from Antioch and me and EJ from out east. You feel what I'm saying? But, I mean, still, like, North Nashville is, like, home.
It's the heart.
Like, everybody went to church out in North Nashville. You know what I mean? Well, Clint went to church out south, but, I mean, he's a Southside dude all the way around. But TSU, like, his dad is you talked about old school, like, his dad is the man in North Nashville.
Right.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, it felt good to us. And when we saw the building, and Clint was like, man, Mo, come see this building real fast. I'm like, where is it? He's like, on Buck Cannon. I'm like, Buck Cannon? I was like, all right, you know what I'm saying? Slid through. I was like, shh. You know, all right, we can do something. You know what I mean? It just felt good,
right,
to be in North Nashville and just to it was familiar, bro. It was by TSU, Fisk, Meharry. It's like, all right, we got to do this.
And the crazy part is, like, when we were kids, like, it didn't look like it did when we were, you know, 27 to 28 years old, right? Like, it had changed. It went through the effects of lack of resources from the city and being neglected, right? Yeah. And so, like, black laundromat, you know what I'm saying? Black restaurants. And, you know what I'm saying? No, it didn't look like West End, but It was a strong commerce. Yeah, it was on, commerce up and down.
Buck Cannon, man.
Yeah, like, and like post offices, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like grocery store. Yeah. And like, you know, so we remember that growing up, right? And it's like, man, if it worked then.
It can work now.
It can work now.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Did a lot of people tell y'all you were dumb for opening there?
Look us dead in the eyes.
We went Big Al's in Germantown, breakfast spot, man. We was in there. And we was talking to Big Al about it, right? He was just a real, like, jolly, like, cheery type of guy. If y'all ever been to Big Al, it's like a shack. But he banging out some of the biggest breakfast plates you ever had in your life, right? And it's good, too. So anyways, he was like, yeah, y'all do that. You know, he was, like, encouraging us. But then a guy that we, you know, looked up to as far as his business acumen, God rest his soul, Terrence Moody. And he sat down. He was in there. And we was all chilling. And we was like, man, we gonna open up the pizza restaurant on Buck Cannon. He was like, I heard y'all open a pizza restaurant. What y'all doing? It was like, Buck Cannon. He was like, I mean, like, literally, like, dropped this newspaper. Yeah. Felt like food fell out of his mouth. It was like, Buck Cannon, like, and like he was like, not disgusted, but just like, like, y'all need to really think about this. You know what I'm saying? He was like, Buck Cannon. And he was like, yeah, Buck Cannon. He was like, are y'all for real? Like, are y'all sure y'all want? It was like, yeah, man, this is what we want to be. Like, wow. And something clicks. It's like, man, it's the right move. Yeah. You feel me? Like, it's the right move.
And then you guys open.
Yeah.
And you can't get in the fucking place. Like, you literally, yeah. did that take you, did you expect it to be that?
Man,
I think our first soft opening with.
You thought it would be crazy.
With Street Symphony. Yeah. I was like, all right.
But for it to be what it was, I'll say I didn't think it would be that. Like, because, I mean, 4 months, I mean, it's lying out the door 7 days a week.
Yeah.
It was crazy. This shit was crazy.
I told you I couldn't get in for a long fucking time. Yeah, like, I could not get in. You could not get in.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you what happened. So we were getting buzzed around the neighborhood. Everybody was hearing about these pieces getting banged down, you know, in this garage. And the very, like, we got to keep in mind, we had to train our staff. We had to train our staff, how, you know, how to run a pizza restaurant. We had never done it before.
Right. You're trying to figure out how to run a pizza restaurant.
So we were like, all right, it's a big, you know, chance that we might screw this up a little bit. So, like, we're going to give away pizzas at the new shop for the first week. So people could come in.
Get a feel for it
and help us train, right? We were just being frank with them, like, hey, look, you know, it's free. You know, the drinks, you have to pay for the drinks, but, like, we just want your feedback, any assistance. And we, you know, we were watching. We were working it at first, too. And, like, we were watching our people and, like, you know, seeing how they interacted with customers. And then people were just, like, so happy that this restaurant was in the middle of the hood and they had been deprived of so many other things that they were just happy to be there, right? And then they eat the pizza and they're like, damn, like, we wasn't expecting that. You know what I'm saying? So, like, then the next thing you know, the next day for the free pizza, there was a line out the door. The next day for free pizza was a line out the door. Then we announced, all right, Monday, it ain't free no more. It's the grand opening. Man, the line was just still out the door and just kept, you know, the line never left, basically. Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen, in my 20 years in Nashville, I don't think I've ever seen the restaurant stay that packed for that long. I mean, it was like a year or two before.
It was cracking.
I was like, what the fuck?
And honestly, we were responsible for ending the line because, you know, the business side of us was like, all right, the line is dope, but, like, the phone is ringing and folks want catering orders. And they want, you know what I'm saying? They want these 20 pizzas at a time and we can't, you know, give it to them.
Right.
So then the opportunity came about to open up across the street at what we turned into Rollout.
Yeah.
And so now we were able to split the crowd and offer better service. You know, because we were looking at, like, man, it's historical to have this line out the door, but it's even cooler to get them dollars coming.
To feed everybody that wants to be fed. Yeah, of course.
It's also our investment in the community. Like, we said, man, we here operating, but we need to own something in this community because we believe in it. You know what I mean? And it's like, when we first saw the original location, like, I think maybe that second time I saw it, I fell in love with it. I'm like, man, this is it. Like, it just felt good. And it felt like something we could, like, really grow from.
The vibe you guys set in there, too, like, the decor, everything was just, it was fucking perfect. And it's like, you would think you guys have opened up 10 restaurants before you opened that one, and that was your first one. Did you guys do, like, a lot of the work yourselves? Like, were you guys in there painting and shit yourselves, or did you guys have?
No, we had a great contractor in there, but I mean, I think our design, just the feel of it, you know, you can take a building and make it nice and beautiful and all that type of stuff, right? But it's the, like, the type of people that you feel the building with, you know what I mean? It makes it what it is, you know what I mean? And we had those communal style tables in there because we wanted to fill the building with folks from different walks of life. And when you sit down to have a conversation, like, that just, it was just, love was just in the air, you know what I'm saying? And then we had a great staff, and you know, that was just like, we had college students, art students, you know, grown folks that just wanted to see what was up, you know what I'm saying?
And everybody sitting together.
So, and then there was the art. Like, we pulled artists from the city. We had the two artists, we only had two at the time. It was X-Pain and Dojo. Mm. And they did their thing in the bathrooms and throughout the space. And it's a nice building, but the vibe came from just those things, the piece of art, music, and the people that was in it.
I'm gonna fast forward a little bit. Because you guys ended up opening a Antioch location, a couple of locations in Atlanta after that, Sacramento. I want to fast forward a little bit to the Broadway location, because if you're not from Nashville and you're listening to this, Lower Broadway is like fucking honky tonk country central. And as somebody that worked the clubs there for a long time, a couple of different spots in Lower Broadway, there is racism down there. It's racist as shit on Lower Broadway. Yeah. You guys opened the first black-owned restaurant on Lower Broadway. Mm-hmm. First of all, that's got to fucking feel good. You know what I'm saying? That's congratulations. That's got to fucking feel good for you guys. And second of all, did you guys encounter some bullshit while you were getting in there? Was it a pretty smooth process?
Well, I would say early on, it was cool. Like, we saw that building was coming, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, as a Nashville kid, like, we've never seen anything new like that downtown.
Right.
So we saw that building, like the renderings of what was coming, we were like, ah, we got to get in there.
Yeah.
They can't leave us out of there. You know what I mean? And so we dove right in, and honestly, you know, had a lot of assistance from people that had influence with, you know, with that space down there. And so that's why we were able to get in, get a really good spot in there. Mm. And that worked really well. But I know we got some issues at the end where, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it like total bullshit. It was just like doubting us. Like, could we be open for opening day? You feel what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, we were still in the midst of a pandemic. Like, we opened March 2021.
Yeah.
Feel me? Like, the vaccine, had it come out yet? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
the very beginning,
right? So, you know, it's just like this doubt from the complex that, well, you know, we know you guys have some problems, like getting materials in and equipment in. But I was like, man, we've had the same problems as everybody else.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
it wasn't just your pandemic.
It wasn't just us. Yeah, yeah, right. You know what I mean? We, and fresh off a snowstorm, too. Like, we were out 2 weeks because the snowstorm hit maybe 3 weeks prior. You know what I mean? So it was just one of those things, like, just doubting us. And we took that on as like a, like, all right, I'm going to show y'all, like, what three black dudes from the Ville can do. You know what I mean? Like, and we opened. It was other folks who remain nameless that didn't even open it.
Wow.
Probably should have opened before we did because they just were bigger. You know what I mean?
They probably didn't get the heat you guys got.
You know what I mean? So it was like, you know, fuck it. We going to do this.
I'll tell you one of the dopest things about the Broadway location is you guys, there's a mural there of... It's basically an ode to Black Nashville.
Yeah, yeah,
and I'm not just saying that because Scoob is in there. My partner, Scoob, rest in peace, is part of it. But just to have that right there by the National Museum of African American Music in the middle of this just hotbed of what I call the worst tourists that any city has to endure is incredibly dope, man. So,
thank you, man.
Black history, both local and internationally, is never told properly, man. So we just have to do it. And that was like our ode to, like you said, Black Nashville, from the music scene to the restaurants to all of it. We just had to tell that story.
And I love that how you guys are on the forefront of just the Nashville food scene, period. Is there a, is there an airport location? Did I read that or am I?
Fall 2023.
Sea Terminal.
Sea Terminal.
That's Southwest, right?
Southwest. So that's the busy terminal.
It'll be right across from Tootsie's.
That's incredible, man. And I know I love what BNA did was bring in a lot of local brands. And it's kind of the same thing that Fifth and Broadway did, was a lot of local brands right there. And I love that. Are you guys having a fight for those positions or are they calling you at this point?
Man, for the most part, they call it.
That's good. That's a big
nice change. Yeah.
I mean, the fight don't start in the beginning. The fight is like, all right, if you want us here, this is what we want to be.
Yeah.
And don't just have us in here. Like, no, we're prime. You know what I'm saying? We're the real deal. Like, put us, you know, where the top dog's supposed to go. Like, that's kind of where, you know, some things could slow down. Because it's like, at this point, we know our value. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you can't put us in the corner. You know what I'm saying?
And now you're in six different markets. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many more? How big is this thing? How big do you want to get?
Man, as big as Lord allow us, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real. You know, we're just going to keep growing, man. Keep growing and keep rolling, you know. And the wheels will never fall off, man.
You guys also, one thing that's really dope about your restaurant is you guys are playing like 90s hip hop in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that's we started off that way.
Yes.
Now, you know, with, you know, things like Unplugged that we're rolling into play, you'll start to see us transition our music to, you know, more of like that local indie artist feel. Because we feel like they have a story similar to ours. So we'll still mix in 90s. And we'll still mix in some mainstream, but we want to focus on, you know, giving underdogs opportunity to be heard. And I think that you can kind of see how that works and different things have been influential on the culture, like when you watch Insecure.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you get a chance to discover somebody, a song that you never heard before, and you find yourself
Shazamming in the middle
of the time.
We want you to, you know what I'm saying, kind of be in the midst of that when you having pizza and be like, dang, it's bopping right there. You know, who was that?
It's dope, man. Congratulations on everything, guys. I'm just going to make one quick suggestion before I let you guys out of here. And there's no gelaterias in Nashville right now. So if you guys want to open up a lab, I'm vegetarian now. I'm not vegan. I still eat gelato and pizza. Those are my two like things that but I can't get gelato in Nashville anymore since Legato down the street closed. I don't know if you guys ever went to Legato vegetarian. I'm just saying. Yeah. I need some fucking gelato. And I'm here with three people that know how to run a fucking restaurant. So.
Maybe we'll find some room on Buchanan Street.
There you go, man. I'll be over there all the time, man. I appreciate you guys taking time out of doing this. The whole city is proud of you guys. Are fucking rock stars here. You know what I'm saying? You always will be. And to see where you guys started and to where it is now is incredible, man. And congratulations on everything. You guys deserve every bit of it. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Much love.
That's it.
Cool.
Appreciate
y'all, man. Yeah. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to Clint, EJ, and Mo and Slim and Huskies for sharing their story, man. Amazing guests on the show this week. Make sure you follow them on Instagram at Slim and Huskies. While you got the app open, follow me as well at DoloWhite101, DoloWhite 101. Brand new episode drops first thing next week. My guest next week, Mignon Francois from the Cupcake Collection, going to share her story, which is also as incredible as the guys from Slim and Husky. So got a little Nashville restaurant inspiring story thing going on here on the podcast over the next couple weeks. Make sure no matter what platform you're currently listening on that you subscribe and follow. If they let you rate and review, do that if you're going to say something nice. If not, you know, you can keep that to yourself. Keep that negativity shit to yourself. All right, brand new episode drops first thing Wednesday morning with Mignon Francois from the Cupcake Collection. That's it. I'm done. I'm gone.